Hi, this is Larry London from The Voice of America. We're backstage at Constitution Hall in downtown D.C. And across from me, hot as hot, he is the man, Neo. Welcome to The Voice of America.
Thank you, sir. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you here. First of all, congratulations on the Year of the Gentleman and
all
the success you're having.
I'm happy, man. I'm happy. My music is not, I've said this a million times, my music is not something that I do. It's who I am. So for people to be, you know, appreciating the music like that, it's like telling me you love me and meaning it, you know? So
well, people are telling you they love you. I mean,
there
the sales numbers are there. I don't know how many top five hits you've had in the last couple of years.
Yeah,
but,
man.
I mean, Miss Independent's doing great. Mad's doing great. Everybody's loving the new album.
Yeah, man.
What inspired the new album?
In a word, change. And I know that's been a word that's been thrown around a lot, you know, since the start of this year, you know, with Obama and everything. You know, shout out to Obama. Congratulations. But I feel like I just, as an artist, I can't do the same thing over and over and over again. I'll get bored. And if I get bored, my fans are going to get bored. And then nobody's happy, you know. So I took it upon myself to kind of just a little bit step out of my comfort zone, you know, try a couple vibes from a couple different genres of music, like Closer, for example, which was the first single. Very much a step to the left of what I normally do, you know what I mean? And it took people a minute to catch on. You know, it took people a minute to get over the initial shock of this not being your typical neo-sounding record. Mm-hmm. But once they did and realized that it's at the end of the day, be it a neo record or whatever, it's a good record, that's when people started, you know, catching on to the music and realizing that at the end of the day, I am an artist and that I am going to always try to push the envelope to keep the music interesting for myself as well as my fans.
And I heard that your mom influenced this album to a great extent.
My mom had a lot of influence on songs like Mad, for example. That was a tidbit of advice that my mom gave me right around when I turned about 16, and she saw that I was, you know, trying to get serious about a certain girl. It was a reoccurring piece of advice too. She said, you never, ever, ever want to let the sun set on an argument. For one, you don't want to start tomorrow with yesterday's drama on your back. That's no way to start the day. And for two, God forbid something happened, and then the last thing you spoke to this person about was some silly argument. So you want to try your best to hash out any differences before the sunrise of the following day.
Mm.
And that's of course a lot easier said than done. You know, normally it takes a little bit of effort to get that to crack, but It's a very good piece of advice, you know, if you can pull it off.
And I also read where you kind of were influenced by the classic artists of the 40s and the 30s and the classy guys, you know, Sammy Davis and Frank Sinatra, who couldn't take the stage without a tux on, which is why you posed with, you know, a tux on the album.
Very, very much so. The thing about those guys is that it wasn't just when they were on stage. Those guys were, you know, were dressed to the nines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because that's what it was. That's what it meant to be. That's what it meant to be an entertainer back then. You know, it wasn't a facade. It wasn't something you put on. Okay, I got to get on stage. Let me get dappered up. No, it was who you were. It was an effortless kind of cool that they had that you just don't see nowadays. You know what I mean? Like I don't know when it became cool to dress like a slob, but I don't get it. I've never understood it, and to this day I don't understand it. So I, you know, my mom, we were not rich by any means growing up, but I mean we weren't like in just absolute poverty, you know, we were somewhere just below middle class. And my mom's whole thing was, it doesn't matter that you don't have the newest pair of shoes or the newest pair of jeans, the ones that you do have, you keep them clean. That's what mattered, you know what I mean? So I just basically took those things and have applied them to my life pretty much my whole life, and Year of the Gentleman is just me kind of putting a magnifying glass on something that's been there pretty much from the start, you know. Respect for yourself, respect for other people, and get you a little further in life than you know, going the other way.
And, you know, for those that don't know, I guess your mom is Chinese.
No. The Chinese on my dad's side of the family.
Oh, it's on your dad's side of the family.
Yeah, my mom is black and Indian, and my dad is black and I think about not half Chinese. I think he's like a third Chinese. All I got was the eyes. That's all I got from him. Yeah.
Now, you talk about, you know, clothes and how important it is to look classy these days.
Yes.
Launching a line of clothing? Did I hear right?
We're in negotiations with some stuff right now. I think we may do a hat line first. You know, I'm notorious for my hats. You know, I'm rarely than ever seen without a hat. So I think that makes the most sense first. And then after that, we might do an upscale line. I think I want to do an upscale line and more of a sporty, you know, Urban Line, just to show people, because I think one thing that got misconstrued with this album is that people started feeling like, okay, if I put on a suit and a tie, that makes me a gentleman. That's not how it works. You know what I mean? A gentleman is who you are. It's your persona. It's your swag is the word that's used today. It's your charisma. It's your personality, not your clothes. You know, dressing the part definitely holds, you know, holds some strength within the situation. But you can put a ribbon around a pig and it's still a pig at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's about who you are, not what you wear.
Now, in addition to the music, the acting, you've mm-hmm. got, you're scoring a film, Venice Beach, and you're also going to be acting in that. It'll be your third film appearing mm-hmm. in the film. Mm-hmm. When's that due out? When do you think it'll be done?
I'm not 100% sure. We had to push it back a little bit because another film opportunity came up, a movie by the name of Red Tails. And it's going to be directed by George Lucas, you know, famous for Star Wars,
right.
Of course. So visually stunning already. It's about the Tuskegee Airmen, the movie. And to anybody that doesn't know, those were some of the first African-American fighter pilots. So I'm going to do that first right after this tour is over. And then after that movie wraps, then we start Venice Beach, you know, so
I mean,
a lot of stuff going on.
Do you like one thing more than another? Are you enjoying the acting more than the music, or is the music your first love?
You know what? I dig the acting, but it will never take the place of music. Never. Just the pace of what it is to be an actor and be on a movie set is just so much slower than music. It's something that takes some getting used to, and I don't think I'll ever just completely be there to where it's like, you know what, I'm done with the music. Mm. I don't think that'll ever happen.
And you're also obviously an in-demand songwriter and producer, and your past credits include Celine Dion and Whitney Houston, and I guess right now you're working with Michael Jackson. Anything you can tell us about Michael's project?
I can tell you that it's a bit of a slow process, I can tell you that. No, you know, no disrespect to Michael Jackson, no disrespect to Michael Jackson's camp, his people, nothing like that. I just feel like they're really, really, really being careful, you know, because this is either going to be a great, great comeback or it's a really, really sad attempt at a comeback, you know. So we want the great comeback. So with that being said, they're dragging their feet a little bit. They're taking their time, making sure that they get the absolute right song. And I can't argue with that. I can't argue with that because if it were me, I'd probably do it the same way. So, you know, so Mr. Jackson, let me know. You know, give me a call. let's make this, let's you know, keep the ball rolling here.
So at this point, you don't know how many songs he's going to use that you wrote or what exactly he's doing?
No clue. I don't know what he's using. I don't know. Sorry about that. What he's keeping. All I know as of right now is that he likes what I do. Mm-hmm. And currently our relationship is I'll submit anywhere from 3 to 5 songs at a time. He'll call me and tell me which ones he likes, which ones he doesn't like, what he likes about this one, what he doesn't like about that one, and then ask for more. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what it's been from the start of this relationship.
Now, everybody likes what you've got. Everybody likes what you're doing. I mean, I heard you're going to work with Usher on a new album. I heard you're going to work with Lionel Richie on a new album. Michael Bolton on a new album.
Yeah, man. It's a blessing, man. I kind of try to pride myself on my diversity. Like, I feel like I have the capacity to write a song for Michael Bolton and then turn around and write a song for an Usher. Like, I feel like I can do it. I want to, by the time my time on this planet is done, I want to have written a song for every genre of music that there is. That's a long-term goal of mine. So, I don't know, we'll see what happens.
Well, if you weren't doing music, what do you think you'd be doing?
Ooh, that is a good question. I don't know. Well, the music, you know what, the music allowed me to venture out into other aspects of entertainment that I enjoy. Like, for example, I have a cartoon that I just put together with Cartoon Network, and we're finishing up negotiations on that. I've been drawing and painting pretty much as long as I've been singing, so it would definitely be something artistic. I just don't know exactly what, you know. I've gotten into script writing and things like that, so I don't know. There's a few avenues that I could have went down. But
you're gonna take the Grammys home, and then of course we're gonna have the Oscars. That's
next. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I saw you dancing at the Oscars with that Four Tops tribute. You
yeah,
were awesome.
At the Grammys.
Thank you. Unbelievable.
Much. That was a little nerve wracking. Just the way that whole thing came together. We never did a single rehearsal with everybody in the same room. We did about 6 or 7 different rehearsals, but either Smokey was gone because he had car trouble or Jamie was gone because he had something. We never, ever did one rehearsal with it. The one time we did it with everybody was on stage. That was the one time. So I'm actually glad that it came together as well as it did.
Well, who? I mean, where'd you get your inspiration for dancing? You're obviously a fantastic dancer.
No, thank you.
You
very
do everything
much.
So well: the songwriting, the singing, the performing, the dancing.
A lot of practice. My inspiration for just entertainment period comes from. I mean, we mentioned the Rat Pack. You know, oh, crap. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry. Maybe it's mom saying good luck. Have a good show.
The business does not stop.
It was Michael Jackson. There it is.
Grab that. I wish.
I got my songs picked.
No. Well, we mentioned the Rat Pack. Sammy Davis Jr. was a fantastic dancer. I actually wanted to learn how to tap dance, but it takes a little more patience than I have. Huge fan of Michael Jackson. You know, I think he's one of the greatest entertainers to walk the face of the earth. So definitely, I don't think there's anybody doing R&B today or for the last 10 years, mind you, that can't say that they weren't inspired by Michael Jackson in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Mm. I mean, James Brown. What is his name? Why can't I get his name right now? He's a world famous dancer. One of the greatest dancers to ever live. Gregory Hines is good, but not. Fred Astaire. Thank you.
Yeah,
Fred Astaire. Huge inspiration. Just watching those old films and just seeing how they made everything look so easy. Like that was the thing that really spoke to me. Is like because you see them do it and then you try it and it's like, oh wow, okay, yeah, that takes some skill. Okay, so just getting it to look as smooth and easy as they did it was my ultimate goal. And,
it look smooth and easy.
I'm getting there.
I wish I could do half of what you do. Just one twirl, I'd be happy. Now, Neo's talking to us here on The Voice of America. What a rare pleasure and an opportunity is to talk to, you know, one of the hottest names in music today.
Thank you,
and I do have to ask you about, I got several emails, you know, people reminding us that you produced Disturbia for Rihanna. And what do you think about what's going on with Rihanna right now? Do you have any thoughts or reflections?
Well, I didn't do Disturbia. I did Take a Bow.
Take a Bow. Rihanna. Okay.
You know, I have a personal relationship with Rihanna. I have referred to her a few different times as my little sister. We're that close. And I've also referred to Chris Brown as my little brother in that, you know, we were signed by the same person. We came out right around the same time. So I have a very, very close relationship with both of them. And I haven't yet had the opportunity to speak with either one of them about the situation. One of the difficult truths that I learned about this business is that you almost have to believe none of what you see and only half of what you hear. You know, you can't really trust a third party telling you something, especially when you know the parties involved. So until I get a chance to speak to them and get the real story, I can't even really make a comment. You know, because. I mean, there's certain radio stations that have stopped playing Chris's music behind this, and the police report hasn't hit the stands yet. Nobody knows exactly what happens. It's all hearsay, mm-hmm. You know. So for people to be making that drastic of a step over hearsay, it's like, have we learned nothing from the tabloids? I mean,
right.
I mean, we can't stand in a line in this room, the four or five of us in this room, and one guy whispers something, and by the time he gets to the last guy, it's a whole other story. So you really think that because this show said it happened this way or that show said it happened this way, that's what really happened? Mm. Nobody knows. So, I mean, I want to talk to them and see exactly what happened before I make any judgments or anything like that.
Now, everybody's coming to you for help. Everybody's asking you to be involved with their records, their songs. Mm. Who do you want to work with? Who would be Neo's wish list?
My wish list is it's like a mile long. There's a lot of people that
Who's
I have
top?
Not worked with. At the top of the list would have to be Prince. I am a huge, huge Prince fan. I think that the man epitomizes what it is to be an artist, what it is to be a musician, what it is to be an entertainer. Like mm-hmm. Prince is the guy that can do it all. He can sing, he can dance, he can act, he can produce, he can direct, he can you name it. He can probably cook. I don't know. But I'm saying it seems like the man can do it all, and that's the kind of artist that I aspire to be. This is a guy that you throw any instrument in front of him and he's gonna pick it up and not only play it well, but play it well. You know what I mean? Like, and that's I aspire to be that. I'm nowhere near that yet, but he's definitely, you know, he's definitely the bar that I that I placed there. I'm trying to get there, basically.
Now, I want to give you a chance to say hi to the troops since we're wrapping up here because they're Absolutely. Watching right now. And I get a lot of requests for your music from the men and women in the military in Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and all around the world. And they're watching right now and listening to the Voice of America. So you can look at the camera and you can talk directly
Absolutely.
To them.
Well, to all of the brave men and women over there fighting for what I honestly Sorry. Feel.
Oh. Can I have
somebody
sit up?
Sit up.
You know that curtain is probably get half of it.
Tight window,
you lean
on
1 foot.
Sorry about that.
Half the curtain opens right there. Okay.
Me and my posture, my mom would be very upset with me. Sit up straight. Okay, we ready?
Yes.
Okay. To all of the brave men and women over there fighting for what I personally feel is no reason whatsoever, I just want to say, you know, thank you for your bravery. Thank you for loving and appreciating my music. I appreciate you for what it is you're doing. I don't know what you're doing, but I hurry home. That's all I can say. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the support. And hurry up and get back here safely.
Thank you, Neo. What a pleasure it is to meet you and to talk to you. The Year of the Gentleman is the album. Get a copy of that album before they're all gone.
There you go.
This is the Voice of America.